give a shout of praise. Oh, that's powerful. Come on, we can do just a little bit better than that. It's going to make a little noise in here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. Let's bow our heads this morning. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you, honor you for all that you are and all that you mean, God. There's nobody like you. Nobody compares to you. I'm praying that you would strengthen me, that you would hide me beneath the cross, cover me with your blood, God. Think through my mind, speak through my mouth, God. Let it be all of you, God, and the minimal amounts of me. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, with your Bibles in your hands. And repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, teach me this word. Amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Those watching live, you can go ahead and put your hands together right where you are from watching live as well. We're going to start off with a familiar passage of Scripture, Ephesians 6 and 10. They're going to put that up there for us. We have come out of our worship series, and this is something that I believe God wants me to share with you. So let's start Ephesians 6 and 10. I want you to check and see if your microphone's on and then read that again. All right. We'll put it back up there for you.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Verse 11.
Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
And verse 12.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Very familiar passage of Scripture, but what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Man. Somebody say spiritual warfare.
Spiritual warfare. Spiritual
warfare. But it's going to be spiritual warfare with a twist. I'm going to talk about it in a way that I don't think you may have thought about it in times past. So spiritual warfare. So I'm going to preface it by talking about a little bit about my trip. We just returned from Las Vegas on last night. We got home in town. It's funny, once I realized that we were going to be getting in town the same day that we're changing daylight savings time, like we're going to go from jet lag to daylight savings time. So I knew God was going to have to strengthen me. But there was something that I begin to think of. You know, God is, one scripture says it this way. It says he perfects that which concerns us. Yeah. So God cares about every little detail of our lives, yeah, including our vacations, including our enjoyment, including our time off, including our relaxation. Sometimes we only think God thinks and cares about the godly portion of our life, but God cares about every detail of our life. But guess who else cares about every detail of our life? Satan does as well. So this vacation was important to me for the simple fact that last year I was robbed of vacations because of COVID. The week that they shut everything down, no entry and exit of the country, that weekend me and my wife were supposed to be flying to Paris for our 20th anniversary after having a 20-year vow renewal ceremony. I had been fitted for my tux. The kids had been fitted for a tux. My wife had been fitted for a dress. My daughter had been fitted for a dress. We had the thing booked, the food, everything, all that canceled. Paris gone. Well, we thought, well, July, I had a cruise booked. All that was gone. So here we come to spring break, March 2021, and I'm like, God, I need this bad. I don't need this to be canceled, changed. I need this. And so we get close to getting ready to go, and you guys all know my son ends up having an appendectomy. This is not something we're thinking is going to happen. This is something that gets close to happening, and it may have changed. Look, we may not be able to go because his body is more important than a vacation. But they said if he heals well, you still can go. So I was like, Satan, you're not going to steal another vacation from me. So we go, and we have been checking for weeks the weather in Las Vegas, and we knew it wasn't going to be extremely hot, but we're supposed to be in the middle 60s. 65, 64 was like the lowest, and sometimes at night 40, so at least we're going to get some sunshine. We land in Las Vegas, and it's colder in Vegas than it is in Indiana. And it stayed that way all week long. Las Vegas is also where the desert is, and they have very minimal amounts of rain. Guess what it did while we was there? It rained while we was there. So I'm telling you this for a reason, because what I'm beginning to learn that there's a part of our spiritual warfare that is not always just rebuking and casting out demons, which is important, and pleading the blood, which is important, and quoting the scriptures and spitting and hollering at the devil, and all those things can be important. But there's a part of our spiritual warfare that I think is important for us to understand, and it's learning how to be able to adapt and adjust.
Yeah.
I made up in my mind, and listen, we are here in Las Vegas. It may be colder than it is in Indiana, but I'm going to enjoy this vacation. Devil, you're not going to steal my joy. I'm going to find a way to adapt, and I'm going to find a way to adjust. And what the Lord is teaching me, your ability to adapt and adjust in this season is going to be important to your spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Because the devil is always trying to bring you down. The devil is always trying to throw a monkey wrench in the plan. And what he wants you to do, he wants you to pout. He wants you to be mad at God and say, God, you ain't doing me right. He wants you, but we're too grown for that. We're too far in God to be pounding it every time things don't go just like we planned. Away with the plans. I'm going to enjoy my life because God has given this life to me. So it might be cold, but guess what? I packed a jacket, and I'm going to put on my jacket, and I'm still going to enjoy this trip. We did everything we wanted to do. We enjoyed everything we wanted to enjoy. The kids just couldn't swim as much as they wanted to swim, but I was not going to let that steal my joy, because you have to learn to adapt, because if you don't adapt in this season, and if you don't adjust in this season, the devil will wear you out.
Yes, he will.
So I want them to put this up on the screen for me. Adaptability and adjustability as powerful forms of spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about that today. These are actually powerful forms of spiritual warfare. Being able to go with the flow. Now, I've actually preached this message to you guys several different times in different ways. Sometimes I'm talking about shifting, being able to shift, and shift happens, learning how to shift. I've talked about going with the flow. Today, I'm talking about it as it relates to spiritual warfare. But I need you to understand, this is the theme of our Christian life. We've got to be able to adjust and shift to the bumps in the road, to the obstacles that come our way. You cannot freak out at every little thing. If you're going to have a lifestyle of worship, you got to learn how to worship in the wilderness. You're going to have to learn how to worship in hard times. You're going to have to learn how to adapt, adjust, and don't let the devil win. He is already defeated. Stop letting him win in your mind.
Amen.
They told you no on the loan. Adapt and apply somewhere else. Somebody walked out on you. Adapt and be glad that they let you go. Because if they can't see how important you are, they're the ones who lost. You didn't lose. Adapt and adjust.
Yes.
In other words, learn how. Be like a chameleon. Learn how to adapt and adjust. Now, what the Bible tells us, don't adapt and adjust to the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but adapt and adjust to it. Here's the thing. As Sister Ruth has told us, if I've raised my level of expectation, I'm not going to stop adapting and adjusting till I get just what I believe.
Yes.
It may not be what I want yet, but I'm going to keep adapting and keep adjusting till it is just what God said it's going to be. There's a story in the Bible where a man was blind, and Jesus prayed for him and asked him, how did he see? He said, I see, but I see men as trees. And so what Jesus did, he prayed for him again until he got the full sight. Seeing men as trees was better than being blind, but you can't stay there. You have to keep adjusting and adapting till it's everything that God said it would be. So this is a powerful form of spiritual warfare, just learning how to adjust. Here's the thing. Never let them see you sweat. I'm talking about them demons. Don't let the demons know how irritated you are by always flying off the handle. Pull yourself together, adapt and adjust. Yeah. Sing songs of Zion. Learn how to praise through it. Learn how to smile through it. Sometimes you should never know, people should never know how hard it really is, because you've learned how to adapt and you've learned how to adjust. People ought to look at you and wonder, do you ever go through? And you might be thinking, do I ever not go through? I'm always going through. But you're not going to see it on my face. I don't want you to be one of those Christians that you always got to act down so somebody can ask you what's wrong with you. Always needing attention. There comes a time when you need to invite people into your struggles. Don't do it all by yourself. Don't go all by your lonesome. Yes, you need to invite people into your space. Yeah. But there comes a time where you can do it by yourself, just by adjusting, just by adapting, just by saying, I ain't gonna let that get me down. You ever had a taste in your mouth and you go to the restaurant for this and they talking about, we out of this?
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I came here. But you don't have to let that ruin everything. Find something else to eat. Enjoy the company. Enjoy the fact that you have people that you can eat with. Somebody had people died and left them. They don't have the same companionship. Stop letting everything frustrate you. Adapt and adjust. Because what it does is, while the devil is trying to frustrate you, it frustrates the devil. All right, let's put the word adapt up. And then we're going to run through actually a definition. I think it will help us. Let's put the definition up. Two points of this definition. One, make something suitable for a new use or purpose. Modify. Adapt. Two, become adjusted to new conditions. All right. Now, let me talk about that for a second. Let me bring up this mask. Don't nobody really like this. If you got any sense at all, you don't really like this mask. But I'm not going to go and bust down the Capitol because I got to wear a mask. I ain't going to go fussing and cussing out restaurants because they tell me I have to wear a mask. I'm just going to adapt. I'm just going to adjust. Because life is so much more than our day-to-day circumstances. It's not important enough for me to freak out over the little stuff. And you find out people in this day and age, they're going crazy over the small stuff.
Amen.
Listen, we got too much to deal with for us to go crazy over the small stuff. Stop making mountains out of molehills.
Yes.
Some of y'all relationships would work a lot better if you would stop arguing over the little stuff. Some stuff is not worth bringing up. It's not worth dealing with. Some stuff on your job is not worth rehearsing. Adapt. Adjust. It's okay. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, guess what? Sometimes we forget. We all get heaven. If you do die, you get heaven. Not only do you get heaven, but once you get to heaven, you get a new heaven and a new earth. You have functionality between both earth and heaven. So whatever you're going through right now, it's just momentary and it's just temporary. So be willing to adapt and adjust.
Yes, Lord.
Now, I'm adapting and adjusting right now. because it was not my plan to live in Muncie. It was not my plan to be in Muncie. Now I'm pastoring in Muncie. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to enjoy pastoring in Muncie, I better adapt and I better adjust. I better get with the program. Look at your neighbor and just say, get with the program.
Get with the
program. I made up this acronym that I think will help us. We're going to put this this next point up. Look at this. I took a dap and I spelled it out like this. Avoiding the devil's attacks and pushing through. Learn how to push through. You know the devil is doing this just to irritate you, just to say hi at you. Sometimes the devil is so childish. All he wants to do is na-na-na boo-boo you. But learn how to adapt and push through. I'm going to praise God anyhow.
Yes, God.
I thought I was going to get the stimulus, and they said, you ain't getting it. Well, guess what? I didn't have it before. Now I still don't have it, and it doesn't make me feel good, but I'm going to praise on through. Because it's not just through the government is the only way I can get money. God can make me find money in an old pocket. I'm going to adapt, and I'm going to adjust. You're not going to steal my joy. I'm going to push my way through.
Hallelujah.
Can't come to church. Why? Well, I can't find the belt that go with my stockings. Baby, adapt. Put on some socks and make sure you got some drawers on and come to the house of God. Adapt. Adjust. Stop freaking out over every little thing. That's the devil's work. I know that's comical, but this is not so comical. People have been shot because somebody stepped on their pair of shoes. People have lost their minds over the smallest amount of things. Now, here's the thing. The scripture says this way, that Satan tries to wear out the patience of the saints. And yes, we are taking on a lot of burdens. And sometimes it's the straw that broke the camel's back. But you got to learn how to let go of your burdens and cast your cares on the Lord. You can't allow every little thing to bog you down and weigh you down. You'll crack under the pressure of it all. You've got to learn how to adjust and adapt. That is spiritual warfare. Sometimes your greatest spiritual warfare is not even opening your mouth. It's just by adjusting and adapting, and nobody knows what you're going through.
Hallelujah.
Because you know how to push and you know how to work your way through. All right, let's go to the word adjust. We're going to do the same thing, give you a definition and acronym. And let's give a definition of this. This is to put the definition up, alter or move something slightly in order to achieve the desired fit, appearance, or result. To alter something just ever so slightly to get what you want. Let me give you an example of that. And I've grown in my wealth to now I have what you call, I have a pocket square that matches my outfit that actually is a pocket square. One time I wanted to make one of these and I didn't have one. And I found a box that had some cufflinks in it, but on the top of the box, it had the pattern that I wanted to wear. So I wanted to see if I could get that off the top of the box, and it just came on by glue. So I tore all the glue off, washed it off, stuck the thing in my pocket, and for years used it as a pocket square, and didn't nobody know. All I did was I adjusted. You'd be amazing of how much you can do if you know how to adjust. You can make that chili stretch for 2-3 days if you know how to adjust. You can make that outfit look better than it used to look if you know how to adjust. When I first started wearing suits, I had one black suit. But I bought a red shirt and a red tie, a purple shirt and a purple tie, a gold shirt and a gold tie. I wore the same black suit, but I changed up certain shirts and ties. And folks was like, you sharp, but y'all don't know this is the same black suit. But I know how to adjust. I know how to adapt. I know how to make it work. And sometimes you got to understand, coming from our ancestry and what our folk had to deal with as slaves, they know how to adjust. They knew how to adapt. Don't you come in the 21st century and act like you can't go over a little something. No, adjust and adapt.
Yes, Lord.
All right, let's put an acronym up for that. This is a good one that the Lord gave me. Adjust, abounding in delight and joy, which undermines Satan's tactics. When he's throwing something at you to irritate you, but instead you abound in joy. Yes.
and delight. Yes, it's cold in Vegas, but I'm putting my little coat on, and we still gonna walk. We still gonna see the sights. We still gonna go where we're supposed to go. I bought a hat and put it on my bald head and enjoyed myself. I'm not gonna lie. I prayed that the sun would come out. I rebuked the clouds, but the clouds stayed and the sun stayed hidden. But I still enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
Because I want to abound in joy. I don't want the devil to think it's that easy to pull me down. Sometimes for some of y'all, it's easy to upset the apple cart. Satan ain't got to do nothing. Just let somebody whisper that, oh, so-and-so talking about you. For 6 months, you are all out of sorts. I thought she was my friend. Listen, if you 30 and past 30, folk going to lie on you. Folk going to talk about you. Just get it over with. Get it out your mind. It's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen to you, you're lucky. Move on with life. Don't let everything stress you out.
Amen.
All right, put this up, and then we're going to get into the scripture. Areas and ways we have to adjust or adapt or adjust. So I'm going to give you some areas or ways coming from the scripture. I could just stop right there, but I would like to at least give you some scripture to work with it. So we're going to work through Philippians chapter 4, and then we'll put another scripture at the end as we tie it all together. So Philippians chapter 4, starting first at Philippians 4 and 1, we're going to start. Most of these are going to come from the English Standard Version of the Bible. A few of these will be from other versions, and I'll try to point that out to you. So let's start here with Philippians 4:1.
Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved.
Now, it's interesting that it almost seems paradoxical, because adapting and adjusting is like flexibility. But this says stand firm. Here's the thing you have to understand. We are not adapting and adjusting out of the plan or the path of God.
Amen.
No, don't adapt and adjust so much that you lose your salvation and lose your glory and start acting a fool. That's not what I'm saying. Well, the pastor told me to adapt and adjust, so I'm at divorce court. No, don't blame your divorce on me. I didn't tell you to do that. No, stand firm in what God has given you. But when you stand firm in what God has given you, you can be swayed without being broken. You can be like a palm tree. The first person I heard really point this out was my mother, talking about how a palm tree will bend, but they don't break. The storm will come. It will bend the palm tree, but it won't break. You have to be firm yet flexible. Learn how to adapt and adjust, but still be firm. Some people, they adapt and adjust so much, they don't know which way is up. One day they want to be this. One day they want to do this. I got this plan. I got this goal. I'm going to be a pastor. Next thing you know, I'm running a bar. How are you going to do all of that? Some of y'all, you need to get rooted and grounded in Christ. But once you're rooted and grounded in Christ, you're able to adjust and adapt. It's interesting. As I was driving over here for my staff meeting, I heard a song come on the radio that's an old song that reminded me of what I was going to preach. It says, though the storms keep on raging in my life. In other words, the storm's not going anywhere. But it says, my soul is anchored in the Lord. And it says, if the storms don't stop, and if the winds don't cease, if it gets worse and worse, one of the reasons why I can still adapt and adjust, because my soul is anchored in the Lord. I ain't going nowhere. What are you saying? I don't care what you throw at me, devil. I ain't going nowhere. I'm not turning this loose. I'm not giving up. I'm not backsliding. I'm not going to blaspheme God. Like Job, you might tell me to curse God and die. I may not like what God is doing, but I know better than that. I'll worship even when I'm going through. I'll adapt and I'll adjust, but I'm going to stay firm in what God has called me to do. Let's look at verse 2. We're going to go a little deeper. I'll read this because these are some weird names, and I won't put that pressure on Mother Mitchell. She does a good job, but I'll help you. It says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. I've read this over and over and never really jumped out to me until I read it in this next version. So let's put it up in the Good News Translation. Euodia and Syntyche, please, I beg you, try to agree as sisters in the Lord. Now, as I seen it from this version, I went and did some study on it, and I realized that these women were actually leaders in the church of Philippi. We're in the book of Philippians, so this is the church of Philippi. They were leaders, and they were both used by Paul. They were great, but they came and had a disagreement. And this disagreement was going to cause some issues. So let's put this up. Adapt or adjust where disagreement lives. Sometimes you just have to agree to disagree. A disagreement will pop up. Disagreement will show up, but learn to adapt or adjust. So we'll read it again. Adapt or adjust where disagreement lives. Sometimes you're just going to have to move past the disagreement. Even Paul and Barnabas, who walked closely together, they had a disagreement and they couldn't walk together like they used to. But you never see writings where Barnabas is dogging out Paul, or you never see writings where Paul is dogging out Barnabas. They just simply disagreed. It's okay to adjust where disagreement is. Now, here's the problem with disagreement. It's not that we don't expect disagreement. We don't expect who it comes from. See, I thought you agreed with me in this, because me and you are close. Sometimes your closest friend, sometimes disagreement arrives and you have to learn how to adapt or adjust. Sometimes, God forbid, you got to just let some stuff go. If you're going to live in this life, sometimes you just got to let it go. You mean you really believe Trump was a great president? Yeah, I loved him. I'm going to have to let that grow, because I can't agree with that one bit. But if me and you are still friends, guess what? Somebody just going to have to let it go and move on. Learn to adapt and adjust wherever disagreement lives. And here's the reason why Paul brought it up, is because what Paul understood, if you allow the disagreement to fester so much so, what it'll do, it'll break up the church. So you're going to have to, basically he's saying, I'm begging y'all, sisters, get it together. Now, I don't want to jump on the women, but since I got a bunch of women here, let me just say, sometimes women, y'all have a problem with this, in the church. So you got, I'm begging you, adapt and adjust. I know every time you go out and buy a new dress, she shows up with a dress just like it. And I know it's getting on your nerves, because all she do is copy you. But it's okay to adapt and adjust. How can I adapt and just, y'all go shopping together. You pick out your dress and buy her a dress totally opposite of yours and let her wear that, adapt and adjust. Learn how to grow past disagreement. Now, sometimes you can't. Some people are just, they're not agreeable. But you can't allow that to fester in your spirit where it affects you. Adapt and adjust. Let's look at Philippians 4 and 3. Read that.
Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life.
Now, this is interesting. Paul never says who it is, but he invites an outside person to come in and fix the disagreement. Here's something you need to know. Sometimes you have to adapt and adjust and get in the middle of stuff that you ain't got nothing to do with, just to bring the peace. So Paul says, hey, brother, these women have been, they've been great for me, but listen, they're about to tear some stuff up. So I want you to come in and fix it. There's some stuff as a pastor I don't want to get involved in. I don't want to get involved in y'all fussing and fighting. But I have to adapt and adjust as a leader. If it's going to tear the church up, guess what? I got to get involved. Now, it hasn't happened too much, because y'all been some great people. So y'all can pat yourself on the back. But I have been invited into some disagreements. And on the outside looking in, it looks so stupid. I'm like, y'all fussing over that. But I was wise enough not to say it to the people while I'm there. But I'm thinking, I started passing that 30. Y'all 60 and y'all fighting over this stuff? But here's the thing. Instead, all I did, I adapted and adjusted figured out what I need to do, got in the middle of it, and next thing you know, was able to fix the problem. So sometimes you got to step into stuff that you don't want to step in. I don't like stepping into dog poop, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes you're going to have to step in some mess to fix some mess. Sometimes you're going to have to step into some dirty situations to help some dirty folk. But it's okay. Adapt and adjust. Even in family, you got folk older than you, aunts and uncles, won't speak to each other. Here you are, got to get in the middle of it. It's okay, just adapt and adjust. All right, let's read the next verse.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice.
All right, let's bring this one up. Adapt or adjust and choose to rejoice. This is a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Yeah. So if you're going to rejoice always, you're going to have to adapt, because everything is not a situation that is filled with rejoicing and is joyous. So you will have to choose to rejoice. You'll have to focus on rejoicing. Even when you step in some mess, you're going to have to choose to rejoice. Would you put the camera on me for a second and get it off of that, just so I can look at the folk, because maybe this ain't hitting the people in the pews, but let me look at the folk in TV land. Choose to rejoice as a command. Take joy. Let me say it to y'all. Take joy. Rejoice. And when you get tired of rejoicing, and again I say rejoice. In other words, he's trying to get in the mind of the people. This is not accidental. You have to adapt to a lifestyle of rejoicing, because joy doesn't always come natural in every situation. You have to choose joy. I even heard it in, I thought it as well, but I heard it even when my father preached last Sunday. He was talking about the situation that Draylen went through, and how they first thought it was a urinary tract infection and gave him medicine for that. But then they believed that that misdiagnosis actually helped from the appendix bursting. So even though I didn't want him to have surgery, I have to rejoice that it didn't burst. It wasn't worse than it could have been. It could have been much worse. You have to look on the bright side. You have to see the glass half full instead of half empty, but you have to choose to do that. No, nobody can do it for you. You have to choose to rejoice. Well, Pastor, it's easy for you. You had the money to go on a vacation. I've been able to rejoice when I'm not on vacation. When I'm coming home from work and I'm tired and I see the sun crack through the clouds, I say, God, thank you for your beautiful handiwork. I thank God for the painting in the sky. I thank God for the birds chirping in the air. If I don't have nothing to praise God for, I find something to praise God for. I choose joy. So choose to rejoice. It's actually a command. All right. So let's look at verse 5.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
We're going to put this up. Adapt or adjust from excess to moderation. Adapt and adjust from excess to moderation, because this world is filled with excess. It's filled with extreme. So let me go back to the idea of voting. I'm not liberal and I'm not conservative. If you can really pinpoint me, I'm more moderate than I am anything. I agree with some conservative principles. I agree with some liberal principles. I'm not any of anything. I'm not on the extreme side of anything. I'm more moderate. And in this day and age, you have to adapt to be moderate, because the world will make you and force you. You got to be all this. If you a pastor, you got to hate gays. Well, I don't hate gays. Well, you can't be a pastor. Well, maybe I'm not the pastor for you, But as for me and my house, I'm going to do it the way I see it. I'm going to be more moderate. I'm not going to be on an extreme end from one end to the other. I'm not going to do that. Now, I have told you that I decided it's okay for me to have a glass of wine every now and then. There will not be any excess in my life. I am not getting drunk. I haven't been drunk since 1995, and I don't plan on getting drunk because I don't want to be in excess. I'm adapting and adjusting, but I'm not going to be excessive. And if I see something in my life that's excessive, guess what I'm doing? I'm confessing my deliverance consistently because I don't want to be in excess. There used to be said about me that Andre is calm until he gets mad because I didn't have levels. I went from calm to off. Ask Devin. Went from calm to OFF. I learned there's some steps you're missing in between. You don't have to escalate everything. So guess what? If I'm going to be the leader in my home, I have to be more moderate. I can't be extreme about everything. You have to learn how to sometimes be what the scripture calls sober. Sober-minded. Not just as far as drunk and high, but sober in your dealings. Stop being flipped out over everything. Come to a place in your life where you adjust and you adapt and you're moderate. You come out of excesses. You come out of extreme. Now we live in a day and age where you can binge watch things, which means you can watch from the first season all the way to the last season. But just because you can watch it doesn't mean you need to. Some of y'all just get extreme. You don't come out the house. I got to watch this series. You don't watch 10 episodes in one day. Take a break. Back up from the TV. Go outside. Do something. Don't be so excessive with everything. Husband can't even get a sandwich because you in the TV. You don't watch 12. Pull away from it. Come. Have some moderation. The devil is always trying to push us to an extreme. Push us to an extreme. If you're a man and all of a sudden you have four or five girls who are interested in you, that's awesome. Narrow it down. If you're going to be a godly man, stop trying to juggle all of them. You ain't Solomon. Narrow it down. He that findeth a wife, not he that finds a whole bunch of side pieces. He that finds a wife. Narrow it down. Maybe I ain't talking to y'all. Maybe I got to look back at TV land. Narrow it down. Stop being so excessive in everything just because, oh, we live under grace. And because my pastor ain't going to kick you out if you do that. See, I come to church smelling like weed and my pastor don't kick me out. But just because I don't kick you out don't mean you need to be excessive. Adjust and adapt. Sometimes you don't need all that, and you want to complain, I can't find a job. You can't pass the drug test. So that's the reason why you can't find a job. Amen. Then you can't keep a job, and then you want to talk about somebody keeping you down. You helping keeping you down. Be more moderate. You have to adjust and adapt. And guess what? Moderate sometimes is boring. Taking the low road is sometimes boring. It might be more fun to have a wife and a girlfriend, but you can get yourself killed that way too. Sometimes moderation will save your life. Adapt and adjust from excess. Now the world is all about excess. The world is all about if it feels good, do it. If you like it, do it. Only God can judge me. That ain't in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say only God can judge you. So learn how to move into some moderation. I could preach a whole message, but that's enough right there. Could preach a whole message on that. Let's go to Philippians 4 and 6. Now this is good because now it pinpoints to where he talks about where we many times get in excess in. Look at this.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Come out of the excess of always being anxious. Now, we live in an anxious world. We live in a hyper speed rat race. Everything's in the palm of your hands, and we're busier than we've ever been. And what it does, it raises our level of anxiety. But guess what? The scripture says, don't be anxious about anything. So guess what? We're going to have to walk back from a lot of that because worry is a part of our worship for some of us. I almost thought about preaching worry worship because some people, they worship the way they worry is a form of worship because they worry so much as if the thing is really there. Many times we're worrying about stuff that has not even happened or materialized, but you get so anxious and so in knots about stuff that hasn't even happened. Don't be so anxious about everything. So let's bring this point up. Adapt or adjust from a worry mentality to a prayer mentality. I'm not saying that you don't deal with it, but instead of worrying about it, you might as well pray about it. If you're going to worry about it, the same energy you're putting in worrying, you could be putting in praying about it. But guess what? Prayer takes work. Worry is easy, so we'd rather just worry about it. So what I've learned, if I'm going to think about it anyway, I might as well offer it to God. If it's, now, some things, they get in your head and you can't hardly shake them. Something happens, especially when it happens to your children. That's a lot of things that people deal with, especially moms. Something happens to your child, you could be going fine one day and get a call that changes your life forever. And you get a call, you get news that just rocks you, especially if it has to do with arrest and jail. And then you have to, that's a process you have to deal with because the legal system don't do nothing fast. So let me throw this scenario out. 2 o'clock in the morning, you get a call, your son or your daughter is hauled off to jail. That's going to stick in your head for a little while. But you have to learn, if it's going to be in my head, I might as well pray about it instead of worrying about it. Because I can't add a cubit to my stature, like the Bible says. I can't add a length to my hair. And I can't snatch my baby out of jail. I can't fix this. I can't fix the legal system. I can't bring folk back from the dead. So if it's in my head, I might as well offer it to God. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It's easier said than done, but we have to grow to the level that I'm not going to be in all this excess. I'm going to adapt and adjust. Because the reason why my child got arrested is not just because they did something wrong. The devil is trying to rob me of my joy. And he tries to get at me through my family, through my spouse, through my job, through the government, through the political system, and I've got to be wise enough and know this is what he always does, so I'm not going to let it shake me. I can't cry over everything. Let me talk to you women for a second. It does feel good, but you can't cry over everything. Sometimes you need to command your tear ducts to go back. I'm not gonna, and I'm not talking about just regular crying. I'm talking about when you can't get yourself under control. You're shivering and shaking and you can't think. That is tactics of the enemy. You need to talk to yourself and command yourself to pull yourself together. And let God have his way. There comes a time where a good cry is what you need. But some of y'all crying too much over stuff that don't mount to a hill of beans. Oh my God, I thought I had Campbell's soup, but I have great value. I can't eat great value. Oh, I can't eat. Look, pour that great value in there, heat it up, eat it, and go on about your day. Somebody would be glad for that. So learn. And you know, I use that phrase a lot that God has me saying, pull yourself together. And I believe God is saying that to us because how can we help a world going crazy if we are not solid ourselves? Sometimes we got to pull ourselves together, and it's not about rebuking and everything. The person that needs to be rebuked is you. Rebuke yourself, rebuke your flesh, rebuke your emotions, pull yourself together and go out and be a light in the world. All right, let's go to our next verse. Here's the reason why we do that. Verse 7.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
The reason why it's okay to pull yourself together, because there is supernatural peace available to you. So these other people, they need to be high. They need to be drunk. They need to be doing what they're doing because they don't have access. access to the peace we have access to. But we've got peace like a river that overflows our soul. So pull yourself together so you can access the peace of God that passes knowledge. Why am I calm in this situation? It doesn't make sense, but I have peace that you know not of. I got peace that goes beyond all knowledge. I have the peace of God, and the peace of God will rule in my heart. The peace of God will let me know it's going to be all right. The peace of God will let me know I can face another day. The peace of God.
God's peace is there for us. Let's put this up. We have to adapt or adjust towards the peace of God. In other words, and I said it before and I'll say it again, anything that robs you of your peace is not worth it. Anything that robs you of your peace is too expensive. So you have to adapt and adjust to things that keep you in the peace of God. That also means certain relationships you're in. If you notice that relationship hinders your peace, it's time to get out of it. It's time to let it go. Even some Christian folk, you try to study the Bible with them and you leave confused and mixed up. Baby, I love you. We can pray from the far, but we can't study the Bible no more because you bring too much confusion and chaos to my life. I love you, but right now we just going to have to separate because I need things in my life that's going to keep me in the peace of God. That's vitally important. Let's look on. This helps us and lays it out even better. Philippians 4 and 8, very familiar. Read that once they put it up for us.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
This will help you while you are adjusting. Let me give you some stuff to think on. Now, I listened to it. But I didn't give a whole lot of attention to it because it didn't fall into this. I listened to the interview with Oprah and Meghan Markle about the royal family. But I don't live in London. So I can't let that affect my life. Y'all do what y'all want to do. What's surprising to me, if you know you got any drop of black blood, you should expect some funny stuff to happen. Just simple life should have taught you that, baby girl. Life should have taught you that. Stop allowing everything to just be so enwrapped up. We can't be enwrapped up like the world is wrapped up with stuff. Oh, did you hear the latest interview? Yeah, I listened to it. I was interested, but I listened to it like 4 or 5 days late because I had time. I'm not going to stop and interrupt what I'm doing. It's important to find out the latest gossip because that doesn't fit in whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. All these things. Those are the things I need to think on. So this point is what we're going to put up that'll help us. Adapt or adjust towards right thinking. This will help you. The devil can't buffalo you if you are thinking properly. If you're always thinking about good things, if you're always thinking about positive things, it puts you in a frame of mind. It puts you in a certain space that it's hard to break you out of. I've learned this, and I seen my dad do this when I was growing up, and I seen when he had got focused on what he really believed God had for him, and it didn't make a difference. And I used to count Friday night offering, and Friday night offering always went to him. And Friday night offering would be just like weak. It wouldn't be hardly nothing. And I'd give it to him, and he said, thank the Lord, praise the Lord. And I wrote the amount on the front of it. So I know you can't be praising about the amount. But maybe he just had a good day. But I started watching over time and realized he had made up in his mind that I'm going to be prayerful and thankful for whatever I got. Even if it's $3 or $1.50, that's $1.50 I didn't have, so thank you, Lord. It's a mindset. When you begin to think on certain things, the devil can't push you around. And one thing I've learned about him and learned through his testimony, it might not have been a lot on that day, but somebody would come by the house and bless him with money. See, it's not always about when it comes and where it comes. You just know it's coming somewhere. It may not come this way, but it's coming somehow. So I thank God for every little bit. If it's just a quarter, thank you for the quarter. If it's just a dime, thank you for the dime. Because wherever it's coming from, it's coming. It's coming from the north, south, east, and the west. It's coming. So you have to think that way. You have to raise your level of expectation and enjoy and be happy and thank God. And stop always, even when you get blessed, stop always acting broke when you're blessed. You always acting poor mouth when you got stuff. That's why money can't find you, because you act poor mouth. I ain't going to buy no $4 cup of Starbucks coffee. You got money. Stop acting so broke. Go buy you some Starbucks coffee. You may not like it, but try it. Look, live a little. Enjoy a little. Dabble in some stuff and watch things come your way. And think high of yourself, even when you're in a low place. That way, when you get in a high place, you can think low of yourself. Oh, I said something very powerful. Let me say it again. Think high of yourself when you're in a low place. In other words, when you're broke, think like you're wealthy. That way, when you get wealthy, you won't get the big head, because you remember what it's like when you're broke. You know how to think yourself. One verse, scripture says it, and it's a little bit taken out of context, but I like the way it says it. Paul said, I think myself happy. Learn how to think yourself happy. Let me just say it like the old saints would say it. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for what?
Saving
me. Think about it. Think yourself. So think on these things. Let's go to the next verse, Philippians 4:9.
What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
Let's put this point up. Adapt or adjust towards healthy mentorship that can be duplicated. I just gave you the example of my father. So guess what? He modeled an example in front of me to not do ministry based on what you get. So you need to adapt and have the right mentors in your life. The problem is y'all looking up to the wrong people. If the people who mentor you are always flipping out, no wonder why you flipping out. You need better mentors. You need better people model in front of you. And guess what? I'm not trying to brag on myself, but you can look at me. I go through hell and high water, but you'll never know it. You will never know it by the way I'm preaching, by the way I'm acting, by the way I'm doing. I'm always moving and functioning like nothing's going wrong. Because at the end of the day, I don't care what the devil is doing. I have an assignment on my life, and I'm going to do what God called me to do. And like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm doing the will of God. I'm going to preach and enjoy. It doesn't make it. And every week something funny tries to happen. But do I care? Do I look like I'm down? I'm happy. I get my little tight suit on and come up here and preach anyhow. I'm happy that God has saved me, gave me an assignment, and devil, you can't interrupt my joy. You can't steal my peace. You can't buffalo me. I won't let it happen. Philippians 4:10. Put that up. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Whatever I'm going through, I'm learning how to be content. Now, this is what I want to point out. Adapt or adjust towards contentment over containment. Just because you're content where you are doesn't mean you're going to stay where you are. I'm content where I am, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stay where I am. So be happy where you are on the way to where you're going. You may be single now and you want to be married. Don't poo-poo on your singlehood. Be content in your singlehood, but also know, I want to be married one day. I want to enjoy the life of those things one day. So be content in whatever state you are in. Let's go to Philippians 4:12. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Many times we miss this scripture, which leads up to the most famous scripture, which is verse 13. Let's put verse 13 up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's go back to verse 12. You really can't confess verse 13 until you understand verse 12. We'll read 12 again. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. I know how to eat steak, and I know how to eat crackers. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I know how to be pain in my body. I know how to be healed. And either way, I'm keeping my joy. Somebody say, I'm keeping my joy. All right, let's, or the next point, adapt or adjust to understanding with Christ, you can conquer what? Anything. Philippians 4 and 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. We're going to go to verse 15. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. He changes the conversation just a little bit. Verse 16, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. This is very powerful. I'm going to put this point up. Adapt or adjust to focusing on those who supported you, not just those who didn't. We love to talk about who didn't do, who walked out on us, who didn't support. But what Paul said, I know you, Philippians, you gave to me when didn't nobody else do it. Why do we forget about all the people who did and we focus on all the ones who didn't? Especially kids and parents. They talk about all the friends that dogged them out, but never want to talk about the mama and daddy that was there with them the whole time and bailed them out. Oh, the world is so bad. Nobody does me right. You forget about your mama? She's been there every time you messed up, but you done forgot about that. And deliver me of kids that will run to folk who will do them wrong before they run to their mom and daddy. They'll run to the street so quick, but focus on the people who stayed. And that's what Paul was doing. Let's look at Philippians 4:17. He makes this point abundantly clear. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. So we'll put this point up. Adapt or adjust to recognizing that you are good soil, and to bless you benefits others more than yourself. I need you to understand that you are the soil. So stop being so timid when it's time for you to be blessed. Well, no, I don't need it. No, you don't need it, but take it. And take it not because you need it, but take it because they need it. And they need to be blessed, and you're good soil. If you done gone through all this hell and you done held yourself together and you done fought the devil, you are good soil. So when somebody wants to take you out to eat, say yes. Somebody, well, this man's trying to date me, Pastor, and I'm not really interested. Is he going to pay for the meal? Go have a free meal. Go enjoy. You can tell him later you don't like him, but you good soil. He need to be in your presence so he can see what kind of woman he need to be one. You may not want him, but it'll help him. You are good soil. Let folk give into you. Let folk do for you. Stop saying no. Stop being bashful. It's your time to shine. It's your time to enjoy. When somebody invites you, say yes. When somebody want to do for you, say yes. When somebody give you something, you already got a bunch of it, take it anyhow, because you're good soil. And you've already dealt with all the other people who've done you wrong. When folk are trying to support you, let them support you. I'm like Sister Ruth, I'm raising my level of expectation. I had no anticipation that y'all were going to bless me for my anniversary, but people started blessing me. And by the time we were in Las Vegas, I had all the money I needed, and people were still sending it to me. I didn't say, oh, I'm sending it back because I don't need it. I didn't need it, but it was for them to be blessed. So I used it. I spent it on my family so it would bless somebody else. You are good soil. Enjoy. So if the devil is trying to steal your joy, when people are coming trying to bless you and bring you joy, stop turning it down. Take it, enjoy it, and use it. And here's the reason why.
Philippians 4:18. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Here's the next adapt. Adapt or adjust to knowing a season called well supplied is headed your way. If you stay the course and never stop sowing. If you will stay the course and don't let the devil buffalo you and push you around, and you stay in joy and you keep giving and you keep sowing and you keep praising and you keep worshiping and you keep doing, I'm here to announce you there's a season called well supplied coming your way. Paul said, I know how to be a base. I know how to be low. But guess what? We've been at low already. We done broke already. We done depressed already. We done crying already. But I'm tired of that. I've been there. I knew how to. I stood up through it. I went through it. But I'm going to a season called well supplied. I'm going to a season called overflow. I'm going to a season called abundantly blessed, exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. And don't look at me funny because I've been in a new land. I'm trying a new land out. Try some new cars out. Try some new clothes out. Try some new houses out just in case you move to a land called well supplied. You move to a land called overflow. You move to a land called blessed on top of blessed. You move to a land called head and not the tail. You move to a land called blessed coming in and blessed going out. You move to a land where your body is blessed. You move to a land where your mind is blessed. You move to a land where your pockets is blessed. You're headed that way if you stay the course. Now, guess what? If you were the devil, you'd try to push you off that course too. Because the devil, even though he's stupid, he knows blessing when he sees it. He's been in heaven. He knows when somebody is heaven bound. So he's hell bent in pushing you off the path to heaven. So guess what? If the devil is messing with you, you're doing something right. Stay the course. Stay the course. He's trying to mess with the message, but stay the course. All right, so Philippians 4:19. We're going to read that, put that up. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What Paul was saying, he said, y'all took care of me when nobody else would take care of me. So let me say this to y'all. My God shall supply. So let me say to Deliverance Temple, because here's the thing. It's funny. I had to do some work, some government numbers for the government. And as I was looking at the numbers from the government, our money went up in the pandemic more than it did in 2019. So what that means is that the folk here, even in a pandemic, they didn't stop giving. So let me say to you, like Paul said to the Philippians, my God shall supply Deliverance Temple's needs. My God's going to bless your socks off. My God going to turn it around for you. My God going to fix it for you. My God going to resurrect things for you. My God going to do it for you. You know why? Because you've been doing what God wants you to do. A few more verses and then we are closed. We're leaving Philippians 4, leaving that, and we're going to add this, putting this up. Adding adaptability and adjustability to your weaponry of spiritual warfare will keep the enemy from being able to push you around. One thing I used to always hear my dad say when he preached, don't let the devil buffalo you. I understand that. The devil's always trying to push you off course. But if you learn how to adapt and just with the other spiritual warfare, which is prayer and the weapon of the spirit and the armor of the Lord, do all that and add adaptability and adjustability, this is what it'll do. This scripture explains it perfectly what it'll do for you. And this is how we'll close. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Am I here to say that it's always easy? No, but I want you to know it's never in vain. I want to put it up in this. This is called the ERV, which is called the easy to read version. So my dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. Don't let anything change you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. You know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. Nothing is ever wasted, especially when you learn to adapt and adjust. And guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Let me say it again. What if you don't get your socks blessed off? What if you don't get married? What if you don't get the job you want? And you don't get the house on the hill? You still get heaven after all of that. And whatever you don't get on this side, you're going to get it on that side. Guess what? There's no way you can lose. You win either way. But guess what? Let me prophesy to you. You're going to get it in this life and the life to come. That's what Jesus told Peter. He said, you'll get it in this life and the life to come. So I'm looking at folk that's going to win here and win there. You're going to win now and you're going to win later. You're just like an hour later. Every time you see now later candy, I want you to think about yourself. You're going to be blessed now and later. You're going to win now and later. You're going to overcome now and later. In heaven and right now. It's going to happen for you as long as you adapt and adjust and stay the course. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. And let's pray from here. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you and praise you and we honor you. Appreciate you, God. We know that the devil is trying to take us out one by one. He got arrows with our names on it. But when you say that we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. But some of this stuff, we're not even going to just fight back. We're just going to adapt and adjust. We're going to put a permanent smile on our face. Our smile's going to be so bright from the inside out that even when we got a mask on, folk going to know we smiling. We're going to be happy as happy can be. We're going to have joy overflowing, full of glory, because we are the called. We are the chosen. And we could be going to a grave. We could be going to a hell. But heaven is our home. And the kingdom of God belongs to us. We have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, God, if there's anybody who doesn't know you, God, I pray that they would just understand that this is the season to say yes to you. So, God, I would simply ask that they would just repeat this word, this one word, yes. Yes. Yes to your will and yes to your way. And God, if these people, if they would just say yes to you, let them know Deliverance Temple is a place that we will mentor them and disciple them and get them to the place where they need to be. In Jesus' name, and let everybody say, amen. Come on, stand to your feet. God bless you. Would you have a great week? Why don't you point at somebody and just say, have a great week.